Day seven. When I say seven, I think there was about two of them working and five watching on that yesterday morning. And it took really somebody like, where's Andy? Andy Wood is not here this morning. Oh, there he is. It took someone like Andy with a PhD to be able to read the instructions so that we can all six of us, the rest of us, follow. Then he noticed that my skill in DIY are so incredible that he asked me gently if I could go and make some coffees for them. So I did. And I wanted to make some coffees, and it was lovely, wasn't it? It was good coffee, wasn't it? Yeah, better than my DIY skills. So we had a really good time yesterday. It was fantastic. And like Carl said, thank you for coming and helping with our stuff. And just one thing I want to say is it's lunch for everybody this afternoon, and it's a vision day for all of us. It's not just members of the church. So if you're visiting, even if you're first time in this church, you're all welcome to stay for lunch. We aim to start at 12:15 to have lunch up there, upstairs, and to share about the incredible mission and ministries that this church has, a few of them anyway. But what it is really this afternoon is about giving thanks to God for his faithfulness, for his incredible, incredible vision that he's given to all of us through our ministries to be part of this body called Lancaster Baptist Church. And we want to celebrate that together. We want to give him thanks for that. But also we want to look forward to what he has in store for us for the next few years or so. So it's very exciting. So lunch is for everyone, and the vision day, the afternoon, is for everyone. We start at 12:15 and we aim to finish by 2:00. Next Sunday, we got a church meeting, again, straight after the service in the morning. It's only about half an hour, and again, is a service to give thanks to God for his faithfulness, especially looking at our finances and so on. So two great meetings today and next week as such. I would like now to go back to the story of Joseph, and this is the last message on the series. And boy, didn't I struggle with this. I'll tell you why in a second, but let me read Genesis 50, first nine verses, because this is the end of this incredible, most powerful story that you will ever come across in the scripture, a part of the stories that describe and depict the ministry of Jesus. Joseph's story, very, very powerful. And this is my ninth sermon of it. And to be honest, as I was looking at it and preparing for today, this week, I was so overwhelmed by the presence of God's Spirit that I could... Not that I cried, that I did cry over the message as I was preparing for today, but also I could write another at least 10, 15 sermons out of this incredible story of Joseph. And so let me read the first nine verses to you. We come to a stage where the curtains are beginning to drawn on this incredible story of Joseph. So Joseph threw himself upon his father, let's remember Jacob, and wept over him and kissed him. This is just after Jacob has passed away. Then Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. So the physicians embalmed him, taking a full 40 days. For that was the time requested for embalming. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. When the days of mourning had passed, Joseph said to Pharaoh's court, If I have found favor in your eyes, speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell him, my father made me swear an oath and said, I'm about to die. Bury me in the tomb I dug for myself in the land of Canaan. Now let me go up and bury my father. Then I will return. Pharaoh said, go up. Go up and bury your father as he made you swear to do. So Joseph went up to bury his father. All Pharaoh's officials accompanied him, the dignitaries of his court and all the dignitaries of Egypt. beside all the members of Joseph's household and his brothers and those belonging to his father's household. Only their children, their flocks and herds were left in Goshen. Chariots and horsemen also went up with him. It was a very large company. Incredible end, or this is the beginning of the end of this fascinating, incredible, powerful story of God's sovereignty and the power of forgiveness. I said those are the main two themes of the story of Joseph. God is sovereign, and the power to forgive, it is the greatest characteristic that a disciple of Jesus Christ can display, have, portray, and witness. The power to forgive others, the power to forgive ourselves, the power to forgive God when things don't go the way we claim or we want them to. And this is where we see his sovereignty. For those of you who haven't been here before, let me just remind you a little bit about our story, this incredible story that Joseph was born in a very dysfunctional family. 11 brothers and a sister. He was the favorite son who wore the multicolored coat with long sleeves, which meant that he will never touch work again. He was the favorite son of Jacob. Because of that favoritism, his brothers plotted against him and they threw him into a well. They threw him into a well and later sold as a slave to an Egyptian caravan that was passing by. From pit, he ends up in Potiphar's house as a servant. Potiphar, the strongest man in Egypt, the chief of the army at that time of the Egyptian Empire. And the scripture tells us that the Lord was with Joseph every step of the way and blessed not only Joseph, but Potiphar's house too. And as he moves from Peter to Potiphar, then of course temptation comes and he goes into prison very unjustly accused, falsely accused, because Potiphar's wife, the army chief's commander's wife, wanted to sleep with Joseph and he opposed her. Run away from it. And that story reminded me so much how many times we are like David when we see Bathsheba bathing. We get closer, we get our binoculars out to look closer, and we try and play with temptation as much as we can. Yet Joseph did exactly the opposite. He saw the temptation in front of him. He didn't internalize it, he didn't spiritualize it, he didn't make any excuse for it. He just knew, the scripture tells us, that this is a wicked thing before the Lord. And what did he do? And I said to you, the most spiritual thing that some of us could ever do in moments like that is to run away. And many a times we are like David rather than Joseph. We like to get closer to it, where Joseph just run. Incredible power of loyalty to God as such. So from pit to Potiphar into prison, falsely accused. And the scripture tells us that 2 full years in prison and Joseph is called to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And within minutes after he is shaved and dressed and everything else, he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. From pit to Potiphar to prison to prime minister. A life that span about 13 years of this, when he becomes from the pit, from the well, he becomes a prime minister. 13 years in which God has shown his sovereign will in everything that he had planned for Joseph's life. Everything that the world could show to the life of Joseph of obedience has been shown in this story. And the Lord blesses Joseph with 2 sons. As I said to you, he gets the job and he gets a wife. He doesn't get much choice in that, but you know, that's what it was in them days. You get the job, you get a wife. And 2 wonderful sons are born to him, Manasseh and Ephraim. And remember the significance of those 2 names. Manasseh is the one that I forget. He deliberately chose to face his past, the pain, the agony of betrayal, to deal with that, and then to say, but the Lord has blessed. And I was saying at that moment into that message that the Lord will bless us as long as we have time and take the time to unpack our luggage before Him, to allow Him to come into our lives and bring healing and blessing. As long as we mean business with God seriously, He will come and bless us. But it's a deliberate choice. And in this we see God's sovereign act. And we look at that, was it last week indeed, when we said that when we begin to see the circumstances of our life, all the happenings in life, shattered dreams, broken dreams, unfulfilled ambitions and stuff, people hurting us, difficulties arising left and right, when we begin to see these things as part of God's plan, His sovereign will in our lives to make us more like Him, then forgiveness becomes natural. Forgiveness becomes natural. I want you never to forget this. And this is the key to all this message of this story, that God is sovereign, and whatever He brings in our lives, it is by His will, in order that we may become like Him. And the key to all of this, it is the power to be loyal to God and keep on forgiving. Forgiveness, it is key to us becoming disciples of Jesus and making disciples. Without forgiveness, you'll continue to be hurt. You'll be continuing living as a victim of someone else's hurt in your life. This is why this story shows us that it is possible to live according to God's will, to His joy that He wants and has for our lives. It's an incredible story. Incredible story. And today, just very briefly, I want to share a little bit, just 2 minutes, of Joseph's ability as a leader. I'm going to do probably a little series at our deacons' meetings with our leaders about this from after Easter, looking at Joseph's incredible discerning spirit as a leader. Number one is that he planned well ahead with a degree of wisdom and detail. Do you remember when he interpreted Pharaoh's dreams? He said also to Pharaoh, he didn't put himself forward, but he said, "Now may you, Pharaoh, my lord, search for a man that is discerning and appoint him to oversee the 7 years of lush, of goodness, of riches, and then the seven, there will be a famine." He didn't put himself forward. He just said, "We need a discerning man." And Pharaoh, of course, he was a very discerning man himself. He said, "Well, you will be that guy. You will be in charge of this." And we see incredible ability of planning well ahead. Those 7 years that they come of riches, they could have been completely squandered if it had been bad planning. They would have run out of material and stuff and food and things within the first 2-3 years. You were so big, the famine. In fact, they almost did. But if you read in chapters 47 and 48, how incredibly Joseph masterminded the whole process of dealing with the shortage, with the seeds, with the land, and everything else. Read those in chapters, we haven't got the time, but in chapters 47 and 46 and 48. He not only planned with a high degree of wisdom and detail, but also with a high degree of loyalty, accountability. If you look at Genesis 47, verses 2, 1, 2, and 7, and so on, he talks to Pharaoh about his plans to bring his family. He was the prime minister. He could have done anything he would have wanted to. He could have just brought his family, set them into Goshen, give them the best, which he did, the best that he could give them. But before he did that, he went and spoke to Pharaoh. Is that okay to do that? We see not just that he was a good planner with a great gift of discerning, a discernment, but also he was loyal and accountable. Accountable. He wasn't his own boss and doing his own thing. Incredible lessons for leadership. He also was a leader with a degree of integrity and we know with creativity. In 47, chapter 47, 20 to 26, we see these dealings with people during the famine years. They ran out of seeds and everything else, of food, and amazing how he deals with them. So that's what I just wanted to share about his ability to lead. But I want to share some of the questions that we've been looking at. What is my purpose? Where am I? What is hope and waiting on God? How difficult that is to see circumstances from God's point of view. Who is God? And we learned the sovereignty lesson there. Looking at our past, the two sons of Joseph, but also rejoicing into the future plans that God has for us. And how can we be set free? The power of forgiveness. The victims that we live our lives, or victimize as such, because we cannot forgive, because of the pain, the agony that is there. Incredible questions. And this is what happens. Jacob comes to with his family to Egypt. 17 years have passed since Jacob has been living there in Egypt with Joseph. He gets to see his sons. He gets to see all the family together. And after 17 years, I'm afraid, comes the end. I think the age about 130 years, if I remember right, Jacob dies. And it's absolute incredible what he does before he dies. Jacob, Israel, now called, he calls Joseph sons, the two of them, and blesses them. And I haven't got the time to do this, but he should have blessed Manasseh first, because he was the firstborn for Joseph. But he does something, and he can hardly see. His mind is sharp, but he can hardly see at this 130 years old. He swaps them round, and he gets the young one and gives him the blessing instead of the older one. And this is so incredible. As I say, I haven't got the time to go into it, but one day probably. For the history of the nation of Israel from this moment onwards, as the blessing goes to the younger than to the older son. Here to Ephraim and Manasseh. What he did is, because Joseph goes to him and says, "Oh, Dad, you've got it wrong here. This is Manasseh. You should put your hand on this one first, no on this one." If you read, the details of the story are incredible. So Joseph straight away notices that Jacob puts his hand first on Ephraim, the younger one, and says, no, Dad, this is the one you should bless first. And Jacob says, no, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Let me do this. And he does it. And by doing that, all I can say to you this morning is that he recognizes now that both his sons, Joseph's sons, are now co-heirs. They inherit the same status, the same blessing as all the other brothers of Jacob. He made them his sons, basically. He wanted them to be and sharing in the same blessing of the nation of Israel that God was given them. They weren't part of that, but now they are. A significant, significant moment in the history of this nation, of God's plan as such. Significant. And then this happens. He blesses his children with his feeble hands. I would imagine 130 years old, his feeble voice. Every tribe, every son that he has, he calls them and gives them a blessing. And that is fulfilled throughout the history of Israel. And he gives them accordingly to their birth, to their characteristic, to their nature as such. But then you come to this moment. And this is where, my brothers and sisters, I found it very difficult. I found it so difficult to even come and stand before you here. This is one of those intimate, powerful moments in the story of Joseph. I can't see the screen there. Joseph threw himself on his father and wept over him and kissed him. For those of you who have dads, appreciate them. They might not be the perfect dads, but while you still can and they're still alive with you, appreciate them for every minute of life that you have with them. Those of you like me who haven't gone on, for whatever reason, I say to you, you'll only find intimacy in a model, a role of a father, and the God's love as a father. And I know that's very hard and difficult to portray, because when you haven't got a father to grow up with and show you what love is, it is very difficult to believe in a father who has everything at heart for you and his interest is at heart for you. It's very, very difficult. I know that from full experience. I mourn over this passage in the last few days. I could feel the pain that Joseph had over his father. The separation that they had, and now the loss that Joseph has. An incredible, very powerful moment. Very powerful moment. Then I want to move on. So they go with Joseph after his death, with Jacob after his death. We hear this great company of people, and they go back to Canaan, to Israel, and bury him there. And as the funeral happens and the days go by and they finish all the stuff and all this cortege go, it's time for them to actually go back to their own routine of life. And this happens. The past comes digging back in. And when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, buried, and all the thing gone, something comes to rub the love and the forgiveness that was given to them earlier on. And he says, but what if Joseph holds a grudge against us now and pay us back for all the wrongs that we did to him? Isn't this our attitude when we become Christians? When we are told, we are shown on the cross that we are forgiven, that sometimes through our frantic religious activities, through our willingness to forgive, through our behavior and through our attitude to holding on to bitterness and pain, do we doubt God's love for us? We do. We do. And this comes, my brothers and sisters, now yet again. And probably this is the greatest moment. I don't know what it's called, the defining moment in the whole story. In the next scripture, in the next verse, what Joseph says to his brothers is the defining moment of God's love, of Joseph's life. Remember, I said to you that Joseph was not taken from pit to Potiphar to prison to prime minister in order for him to become a prime minister and to save a nation. No. That's part of God's plan, but it was not the primary plan. The main plan and the main purpose for God in Joseph's life was that he will portray God's love at a level and the heart that God has for his people. Forgiveness was the key into this, and not the status that Joseph achieved. That came as part of Joseph's obedience. Blessing follow. But God had something else and more deeply to deal with in Joseph's life than just him become a prime minister. It was the power of forgiveness. And look what he says, my brothers and sisters. The most defining moment in the whole story. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I, look at that question, am I in the place of God? Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Am I in the place of God? He understood God's love to a new level, a new dimension. You intended it for me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done. that we as a family are together, that this nation is saved, but above everything else, that you will know God's love. You will experience His forgiveness and glory. Incredible moment. Incredible moment. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want to stop here, and I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I have. I don't know what the enjoyment is the right word, but satisfaction from God's love. You can listen to the sermons again on the website. They will be available on CDs. If you haven't been here throughout the series, I'm really sorry, but you can still listen to them through the means that we've got now, technologies that we've got this day. Please do. One thing I don't want you to forget, that everything that works in our lives, whether it's good or bad, that comes our way, it is God's sovereign will that we may become like Him. And in that, i.e., show forgiveness, show love, and show grace. Two great aims. God's sovereign will has unfolded in our lives, and the power to forgive as we live a life full of His grace. As disciples of Jesus, this is what we are called to. To give glory to a God that is sovereign, and to live a life that is full of mercy, forgiveness, love, and grace. A man who trusted God in every situation, a model of grace to all people. That is the story of Joseph. That is the story, I hope, of you and me as disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's pray, and I'd like to have a time of ministry as the worship group is going to sing some songs. I'm just going to be here, and if you'd like to come and be prayed for, a specific item issue, it doesn't mean that you have a problem. We all have problems, so don't be ashamed. Just come up here, and I'm going to lay my hands and pray for you. If you want to just stay there and listen and be ministered by the singing, if you want to join into the singing, again, you're free to do so. I'm making myself available. God is here. He is available to bring healing, to bring encouragement and assurance in your life. Have your way. Open your heart to Him. If you want to be prayed, I'm here. If you want to stay there and just pray between you and God, feel free to do so. And let a musician minister to you as they minister to me the grace of God. As they prepare, let's just pray. Father, as we come into your presence, as we stand into your presence, I thank you so much for this incredible story of Joseph. Thank you for the lessons learned. Thank you that you chose us to bless. I pray that you'll give each one of us strength to respond in obedience to your sovereign will in our lives. Not only when temptation comes, but when difficult circumstances arise, may we respond in faith, with grace and love. Father, we want to bring you glory. We want to bring you glory that is due only to your name. Thank you for your grace has forgiven us. Thank you for your forgiveness on the cross in Jesus, who brings us healing, strength, power. Thank you for your immeasurable, indescribable love. Lord, would you help us to receive that love just now as we continue to worship you today. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit.
I'm going to continue by singing, "Who is there like you?" You might wish to stay sitting.